And welcome back. You may or may not have heard of the Fargesson Media Project. It's an opportunity to give voice to the people of Ferguson after the turmoil there that followed the death of Michael Brown. Specifically, the focus has been on the conversation and cooperation between the black community and Jewish supporters. It's a multi-part project involving dialogue and documentaries. With us to discuss the project in more detail, what it's accomplished and what lies ahead, are rabbinical seminary student Sarah Barish Hagens, the founder of the Fargesson Media Project. K.B. Frazier is a participant and interviewee with the forthcoming Fargesson Media Project's film screening and panel. Thank you both so much for being with us. Nice to have you.
Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Well, I think we better start with the word Fargesson. Many people think that when I say it, I'm saying Ferguson, but I'm not. What's that all about?
Sarah. Well, the word Fargesson in Yiddish means forgotten or forgetting. It can kind of mean either. And it is obviously a really eerie homonym to Ferguson, and I think a prophecy not to forget or that we could forget. So last year I read a sermon by a rabbi in the Bay Area, actually Rabbi Mike Rothbaum, that compared the Jewish experience of police brutality actually in the 1900s in the Lower East Side of New York to what we were witnessing in Ferguson, but he did it in a way that it was presented without us knowing, and we thought it was about now, and then we realized it wasn't. It was about our historical experience, one of the Jewish historical experiences, and then, you know, went on to talk about why we can't forget Ferguson, and we can't forget the details of what happens, because it's really in the details and in the stories of how everyday people react to justice and injustice that we learn about how to have a better present and future. So I asked his permission, since I was not raised with grandparents that really spoke much Yiddish, to use this this word that had been inspired by his sermon. And he enthusiastically said yes. So as we developed the project, it was just so clear that that had to be the name.
So I guess the bottom line is that sharing a common experience should make it easier for people to communicate. Is that the idea?
Yeah. It's also a reference, I think, to the fact – I realized this after I chose the name – that often the fact that there are black Jewish people who are experiencing police brutality the same way that non-Jewish black people do is another thing that's forgotten. And so Ferguson has sort of become the mantra to investigate all the pieces that are critical to understanding the story. But if they're forgotten, we'll really miss a lot of the truth.
I mentioned in the introduction that this is a three-pronged effort. Just describe the project, if you would, in terms of how you want to bring the three prongs together and make it work.
How did you define the three prongs exactly? I'm trying to.
Well, let's see here.
The film, the audio.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right.
And then public presentations.
Exactly.
Okay. So I actually interned next to where we are right now. I interned at the St. Louis public television station, the Nine Network, a few years ago. And so documentary film has always been something that I wanted to pursue. And when I went to rabbinical school, I thought I couldn't. And then it became clear that as I watched so much visual media that portrayed the Ferguson story, in my opinion, wrongly, we needed to do some sort of film project that got people talking about their truths and that told some different stories. And then we realized we could reach even more people if we just had pretty good recorders that allowed people to tell their story in different public settings. And so we've been compiling an audio archive as well, realizing that not all stories are made for film and not all stories do we have the resources to turn into films right now. But we really want to be sure to capture reflections from everyday people. And so those are on the website. And then there's the piece where we try to create space to have the conversations about the issues raised in the films and continue just to model that this is – if we truly prioritize the truth and the subtlety of the story, we have to continue to empower everyone else to do the same thing, whatever that means, whether that means telling their stories and their families more accurately in their places of worship in their communities, and also just continuing to engage with St. Louis and be able to say, and I've seen this other side. I'd like to share this film that I saw, I'd like to share this perspective I heard in this audio interview. So I think we have to keep creating the in-person opportunities to hear what the films and what the interviews raise for people, or they'll just sit there, right?
So. Sure. All right, let's bring KB into the conversation. KB, thanks for being with us. You're a participant in this project at various levels, from what I understand. Yes. Well, what do you think overall, your overall view of the Fargesson project?
What I think it brings to this conversation is that oftentimes the people who are actually out there doing the work don't have time to make documentaries about what they're doing. And so this allows for people to continue to do the work that they're doing, but for that work to be captured so that it isn't forgotten.
Are you from Ferguson?
I am actually from St. Louis.
Yeah. Tell me how it has helped you, the opportunity to have dialogue and discussions. How has it helped you?
It's helped me by giving us space to, and I would say courageous spaces. I don't think of any space as safe, but having courageous spaces so that we can dialogue about really tough, hard things. Racism is a hard thing to talk about, but when we create a space that first starts with a video or an audio presentation of somebody who experienced something transformational in Ferguson or around Ferguson, then it humanizes the situation and allows people to have dialogue.
Have you done both an audio presentation and a video presentation? I know you are involved in that.
Yes, yes. And so I believe that there's some audio of me, but also video of what we recorded in terms of part of the project was I participated in the rewriting of a Haggadah for Passover, and so part of the film is about that.
Could you give me just a little bit more detail on that in terms of?
Sure, sure. So we wanted to not necessarily rewrite, but kind of revise the Haggadah, which is the retelling of the story of Passover. And part of what I did was I wrote Lo Dayenu. So Dayenu means if it had been enough, it would have been enough should this happen. So Lo Dayenu, this is not enough. All of the things that have happened have not been enough to rectify systematic racism and white supremacy here in our country. And so that's part of the project that I participated in, and I talk about it in the film.
Sarah, comment on that, if you will, how that works. I mean, this sounds to me, as the way you've described it, as exactly the kind of thing that you want to bring forth.
Yeah, so I think that the most powerful spiritual experience I've had, one of them would be creating that Haggadah with KB and my partner and two Jewish activists of color in New York. And so we didn't even realize that the Haggadah would be on the site, but then when we made the film and we decided to highlight KB's role in the Haggadah, we ended up putting that on the Fargesson website as well. And so it really is exactly what the name of the project is, the Ferguson Media Project. So anything that falls under media in terms of writing that's being done, that's transformative, any interaction with the intersection of blackness and Judaism broadly defined, and including the films we make and the audio that we collect, it's an incredible just display of riches. And so that's really what compels me to keep going. I mean, I have people in my life who are creating new theology. I mean, the reviews on that Haggadah from mainstream Jewish sources, I would describe it as unsettled but very reverent. I mean, people were saying, this disturbs me, but I need it. And so the chance to capture that is just anything. I mean, it's really all a young rabbi or a young artist could ask for. So,
KB, is this something that is unsettling, but something you found that you need?
Yes. And as a Jew, I think of the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel. And to me, that's where we are right now. We're wrestling with racism here. And I'm hoping that this time we wrestle enough until we get the blessing, and the blessing will be that it ends.
Sarah, do you have any sense, and we've talked about this before on this program, and we get impulses from the listeners from time to time who say, enough with Ferguson already. We're tired of hearing about it. It's called Ferguson fatigue. Are you running into any of this?
Well, yeah. We definitely run into that in St. Louis, of course. What's troubling about that is that as someone who feels that the real story still hasn't been told to the mainstream or hasn't really been processed by most people, that's a hard thing to hear, and that is actually the motivation for trying to do this differently. I mean, there are people who I don't think would go to certain other events or who would never go to a protest who have seen some of our films. I'm thinking, you know, older Jewish white people who are my, you know, they're my family. I care about reaching them, and they watch the films and they weep. So we have, it's totally real. And it's actually, I think, a big reason that we have to figure out how to tell the story in a way that reaches people. Because I'm unwilling to say those people won't be a part of the solution. If Ferguson is difficult for them to talk about, it's probably because the way we're talking about it isn't building on people's strengths, isn't empowering them to be a part of the future. If they're just feeling really stuck in a really difficult past, so in a way we have to just continue to process that past in a way that builds to the future, and that's really the point of Vergessen, right? Because it's a Yiddish word referencing forgetting. So if you feel caught in the past, that's fine. We have ways, we have a narrative tradition in Judaism in particular. We have 3,000 years of narrative tradition to help you. You know, we can set that aside and look at this from a different angle. Let's talk about the Lower East Side of New York. Let's try something else.
KB, when I mentioned Ferguson fatigue, you started nodding affirmatively. I gather that this is something that you're dealing with.
Yes. I realize that a lot of people want this to be over with, but institutional racism didn't start with Ferguson. It just happened to open up this wound fresh. And so the point of this project, and I think the point of all of my participation, has been to never forget. It's one of the things that we say as Jews when we think about the Holocaust, is to never forget.
Neither.
Yes. And so we can't forget Ferguson, and we can't forget what happened here, and we can't forget the spark of this kind of new civil rights movement. We can't forget this, and we have to build upon it and make sure that we the goal, which is to end this racism and white supremacy that controls so much, that needs to end.
Sarah, do you ever give any thought to expanding the horizon and bringing other religious groups into it, Christians, Muslims, for instance?
Yeah, actually, if you watch the films, you'll realize that's a really big focus. It's been interesting because usually as Jews, when we show up to interfaith events, we're not the ones convening them, and we're just offering a Jewish voice. But tonight, the moderator of our panel is the very Reverend Mike Kinman of the Christchurch Cathedral downtown, and he's a close friend and ally. And what the second film is about the friendship and the parallel theologies of Rabbi Susan and Pastor Tracy Blackman, Rabbi Susan Talvi, my mentor and a person who's in a lot of the films, and Pastor Tracy Blackman, who needs no introduction. And so a lot of the way that we're looking at Judaism is through the lens of how we interact with our brothers and sisters of faith in this, because that's, I mean, a huge part of the story. And a huge part of telling any story about the clergy is what it's meant for, you know, people like the clergy that have been so involved to develop intense and deep support for each other as they do a really, really challenging role that nobody could have been prepared for. So as a future clergy member, that's also one of my main interests, because I really want to figure out how they do it. And I'm still not sure.
The event that you mentioned, by the way, we should just point out, that's happening tonight at the John Burroughs School at 7 mm-hmm. o'clock. You're going to be screening some of the videos that you're talking about, have a panel discussion in which Rabbi Talvi and I think Dean Kinman also are going to be a part of it, and others as well. KB,
uh-huh.
You're
KB,
also
Alexis
going to be
Templeton,
a part of that.
And yeah. Angel Carter.
Yeah. Right. 7 o'clock. Anybody is welcome to come,
yes.
I assume. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned a couple of the videos. I think there were seven of them. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the other subjects that you're dealing with in these videos? You look like you want to hand off to KB. Either one
yeah.
of you.
Well, so KB is actually one of the main narrators, along with my partner, Gray, who's KB and Gray are good friends. I mean, that's sort of our connection from the beginning. So they are two Black Jewish voices that narrate these first and last films largely. And two other main narrators, I would say, are Amy Hunter of the YWCA, Pastor
Tracy.
She's
terrific.
She's great. Yeah. I hope she's there tonight if she's listening. Pastor Tracy Blackman and Rabbi Susan. The first one is about St. Louis as its own character, and it's called There's Going to Be Some Struggle. And the last one is about hope. And I've been told it's a very subtle and melancholy film about hope, but it is about hope. And then the second one is about Pastor Tracy and Rabbi Susan and their friendship. And it's really kind of just side by side them preaching. And the third one is about KB and the Haggadah. The fourth one is about the media, and that's told from the perspective of two prominent young activists, Brittany Farrell and Alexis Templeton, the founders of Millennial Activists United, and sort of explores how media can be exploitative. And the fifth one is about Kinloch, which is important to understanding the story of Ferguson, and that's narrated by my partner who lived in Kinloch and Ferguson and all of those lived around North County and North City as a child. And then the sixth one is about Mokabees, the coffee shop that became the site of so much activism and was also tear gassed on the night of the non-indictment of Darren Wilson. And that explores this idea of safe space. And I like to use that to trouble the idea of what it means to be a religious space, what it means to be a courageous space, because it's a coffee shop, but it fulfilled the same role that night, and it also experienced a lot of violence. And then we end with hope. So that actually, those seven films premiered on YouTube leading up to the anniversary of Michael Brown's death this year on August 9th, 2015. So that was the idea, was having one for every day of the week for people to reflect.
And KB, we should point out that these films are all relatively short. Yes. So that we're not talking about going in there and spending hours watching videos. Right. Eight, 9 minutes, something like that for each one.
Yes. It's just enough information to get you kind of interested in more conversation.
Okay. So where does it go from here?
Well, there's a lot of big dreams. Definitely, we're going to be coming back this coming summer. We need to fundraise to make that real, but we're committed to building out two of the shorts. There's one about the clergy. It's actually going to look at the broader picture of the clergy, specifically the women clergy who've been leading, because we've never really seen a story like that before in a civil rights movement. And the second one is the one sort of about Kinloch and sort of about St. Louis, and that's focusing on my partner Gray taking us on what I call a morning tour, morning after death, a morning tour of the north side of St. Louis, and sort of grounding in sacred space. And we're calling it a prequel to Ferguson.
Right. Well, we'll have to let it go there for the moment. But KB, I want to get a quick response from you as to where you hope it goes from here.
I would have to just ditto with Sarah and hope that as people watch these films, that they too become inspired to write their own stories about their own activism here in America.
We'll put links to your website on our website so that people can make that direct link between the listeners and you guys. Thanks so much for being with us. Good luck at your presentation tonight.
Thank you.
That's going to be happening at 7 o'clock at the John Burroughs School. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, in the first of a weekly series, Behind the Headlines, we'll talk with reporters Jason Rosenbaum and Nancy Fowler about the top stories in this week's news, including the Rams' move to Los Angeles and plans for renovating Union Station. We'll also take a look at the St. Louis connections to the Golden Globe-winning and Oscar-nominated film The Revenant and the world premiere of Deborah O'Grady's video installation to accompany the St. Louis Symphony's performance of Messiaen's From the Canyon to the Stars. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.